Okay, good morning. Good night, Shabbos. If you're a part of this year, you can head over here. If not, then you don't have to head over here. We are picking up with the Sfas Emes in Parshas Shlach. And the goal today is to talk about a whole bunch of pieces in Sfas Emes, a whole bunch of different pieces. But all of them actually are the exact same theme. So either you'll get a lot of chizuk and you'll be blown away by the theme and see a lot of iterations, or you'll be very bored, but you'll figure that out early on. Our learning today, the shir, is dedicated by Chaim and Yitzi Katz in memory of Dina Bas Chaim Getzel, who is their grandmother, correct? And Chaim, you're named for Chaim in the name? But your wife is not named for Dina, I hope. Okay, good. So the Pasuk in Parshas Shlach in the very beginning tells us about the episode of the Meraglim by Dabar Shem Moshe Lemor. Shlach lecha anashim v'yasuru eseretz kanan asher aninaisen levnei Yisrael isha echad lemate avosav tishlach lekol nasi vahem. And then by Yishlach Osam Moshe Mimidbar Paran Al Pi Hashem Kulam Anashim Rashi Vnei Yisrael Hema. So the Psukim are quite perplexing. All of the Mefarshim pick up on this, obviously. The Ramban has a lengthy discussion. The Arachayim talks about this. Really, Rashi is dealing with it too. But everyone talks about it. The problem is that it's quite unclear whether this was a good thing or a bad thing. We know the result was bad. That's not a question. The result was definitely bad. The Meraglim did a bad job, ultimately. A terrible job. It was rishus, and it was even kfira, according to, depending on how you would define what the avera was. But what the question is at the outset, initially, lichatchila, was this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? Was shlach lecha anashim ledaitcha only for you, but I don't agree, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have my askama? Or was it al pi Hashem? Kulam anashim tzadikim roshei eshvatim al pi Hashem. So which one was it? So the Sfas Emes doesn't directly ask that question, but he starts with a medrash, and what he defines within this medrash, what he explains from this medrash, helps us get a peek at what the answer is. And the answer, I think, is a very very interesting, very enlightening, and very meaningful one for a take-home message as well. The medrash...
Quick question, what does it matter?
Do you have the sheet?
Yeah, okay. What does it matter if you send? I'm hearing the question is, does Shem send?
Yeah.
People want to go?
The question being as follows... Well, that's part of the answer, obviously, but the question being as follows... Was it the initiative of the Jewish people, and it was the wrong initiative, because Hashem already promised that the land is good. So why do you have to go and check it out and spy on it? Hashem said it's good, so believe me, it's good. If that's the case, why would we send the spies? Or did Hashem say, even though I told you it's good, I want you to go check it out anyways? Why would that be is an interesting question. We could talk about that another time. But that's the tension between the two possibilities. So the Sfas Emes here, you have in source number one, Tuf Reish Lamed Aleph, 1871. The Sfas Emes says like this, the Medrash Rabbah, Shlichei Mitzvah, these people here were Shluchei Mitzvah, the spies, they were Shluchim of the Makom, Shenosnim Nafsham B'Shlichusam, that they put their entire life, their entire desire, they were most of their nefesh, to the Shlichus, to the job that they were emissaries for. So the Sfas Emes starts by quoting his grandfather, the Chedush HaRim, Adoni Avi Zikni, Mori Rabbi Zatzal, Ragil Lomar, he used to say, Kigam Adam Makayim Mitzvah Boro. Really, every time you do a mitzvah, every time you fulfill, you heed the call of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do what Hashem sent you to do, you do your task that you're assigned by the Ribbono Shalom, every time you do that, so Nishtalach Bolam Hazeh, Kedei Lasos Ritoni Yisbarach, Nikra Shlichei Mitzvah Bevadai. You're always called a Shliach Mitzvah, because you're a Shliach, you're an agent, you're an emissary to do a mitzvah. So if I send you to Eretz Yisrael to bring a dollar bill, which is why a lot of us go to Eretz Yisrael, right, to take dollar bills for people, so I'm a shliach mitzvah, we say, right? So in a nizokim, we're going to be saved. Every time you do a mitzvah, you're a shliach. Hashem sent you into this world to do 613 mitzvahs, some of us more than others. The cats are going to do the Kohanim's mitzvahs, we're not, but we're going to have altogether a kim of 613 mitzvahs. We're emissaries, we're agents, we're shluchim for those mitzvahs, correct? So says the Chedush HaRim, every time I fulfill Ratzon Hashem, I'm a shliach lemakom and I'm a shliach mitzvah. And based on this, he comes to expound on the Medrash as follows. The Kashala Medrash, second line. The Medrash is bothered by the following. Matzivo Yashlichus Me'achesh Lohutav Be'inei Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Shlichus. It's Al Pi Hashem. And Shlach Lecha Anashim. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, send the spies, send the Meraglim. But why? Lohutav Be'inei Hashem. This wasn't a good thing. Hashem recommended the land of Eretz Yisrael. It was it was the chef's recommendation, right? This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choice, the Bechir of all of the world, the land of Eretz Yisrael. So it's not a good idea to send spies. That expresses a disbelief, that we don't have confidence in Hashem's recommendation and choice of Eretz Yisrael. So why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu command sending spies? It makes no sense. The Medrash is bothered. So says the Sfas Emes, this is so brilliant. He says, no. It wasn't a good idea to send spies. The Meraglim was a bad idea. We should have full faith, full trust in Hashem that Eretz Yisrael is the right place. Rak says the Sfas Emes, ki haya eitza li nutzel al yedesha Hashem Yisbarich asa mizeh mitzvah v'haya lehem leilich b'toras mitzvah. This is a bad idea. Jewish people, you should not be sending spies. You should trust Hashem. But once you're going to do it anyway, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, let me turn it into a mitzvah. And if I turn it into a mitzvah of al pi Hashem, and you do it with only the proper intentions, no longer because you're nervous, you're scared, you're not sure, you're not confident in Eretz Yisrael, but because it's al pi Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you, because Shlach Lecha Anashim by Dabar Hashem El Moshe Lemor, now that it's a Dvar Mitzvah, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you have those intentions, you'll be Shluchei Mitzvah. You'll be people who are doing it for the right reasons. If you do it for your own reasons, it's going to be bad. And ultimately, what do we know happened? They did it for their own reasons, they saw the wrong things, and it ended up being for the worse. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a system by which, even if the Meraglim weren't supposed to be doing what they're doing, he could turn it in such a way, he could reorient them, he could recalibrate their intentions to be towards Avodas Hashem, to make them Shluchei Mitzvah, to make this a Dvar Mitzvah, and that was the Eitzah, that was the advice, in order to save them. And says the Sfas Emes, that was the goal, but in that instance, we lost out. Now just to be clear, a Dvar Aveira can never be a Dvar Mitzvah. There's no reality in which doing the wrong thing with the right intentions, again, save the Parsha Mekoshes for another time, doing the right thing, the wrong thing for the right intentions is wrong. We're not allowed to do that. In this instance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do it. He commanded them to do it. So he flipped the script, so to speak. He said, in this instance, I'm going to turn the what's really an Aveira objectively into a mitzvah. And that was teaching us a rule for the future that everything we do that's either parav or a mitzvah, if we have the right intentions, we'll be fully shluchei mitzvah. We're totally into the mitzvah, and that's all we're thinking about, that's all we care about, then we're going to be shluchei mitzvah. Hayutzrichim limsor levatel ratzonim. They should have been nullified all of their own personal biases. Lasos rakidei lasos ratzon Hashem Yisbarach. Just to do what Hashem wants. Umimela hayunitolim. They would have been saved from the Aveira. They missed the boat. They would have been saved from the Aveira. And says the Sfas Emes, this is not just a nice Torah for the Meraglim. No. Uvechein bechol mitzvah. Every single time we do a mitzvah, we could have multiple intentions. A person can learn Torah because Torah is geshmak. By the way, that's okay. You're allowed to get hana from Torah. But also, a person should have in his mind, I'm doing this because Ribbono Shel Olam says to learn Torah. A person can give tzedakah because it feels very good, very gratifying. It's very, it's a wonderful feeling inside. It's a fulfilling feeling to be helpful to another person, to support another person. A chesed feels good to a person. That is something that you're supposed to take chizuk from, but a person's giving tzedakah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu because that's the mitzvah in the Torah. You like tefillin, you like Shabbos, these are all things we can appreciate and get inspiration from, but ultimately we have to be shluchei mitzvah. We have to know that the reason we're doing things, we're mevatel our ratzon, and we're doing it only for the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's the goal of being fully shluchei mitzvah. And if we have such a lifestyle, the Sfas Emes continues and says, not only mitzvos we do will be that way, but every time we sit down to eat a meal, and every time we schmooze with a friend, we're going to start to realize how the meal is helping be mechazik us to go to learn, to go to daven, how the schmoozing with a friend is helping to find what's wrong with them so we can help them out and do a chesed for them. Everything we do that's pariv, everything we do that's a reshus, that's ostensibly, it looks like a reshus to the naked eye, but the truth is, as you look deeper, if it's infused with only caring about Ratzon Hashem, if you're a shliach mitzvah, if your whole intent in this world is to be an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to fulfill His will in this world, then what happens is even the divrei reshus are flipped and turned in with deeper meaning into the Ratzon Hashem as well, because we can infuse everything with that Ratzon Hashem. The Sfas Emes continues in Taf Reish Lamed Beis. You have in the third source in the sheet, under the number one still. The Sfas Emes says, this is 1872. He says, we know the Pasuk tells us, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. That the mitzvos are neros, they're candles, and the Torah is or. It's the fire, it's the source. This is, all of the Torah is or. The whole world is filled with the or of Torah, the flame of Torah. The mitzvos, all 613 of them, are simply a candle which catches from that or and can light up even dark places. And what he says is that mitzvos basically are the embodiment of what we're talking about in the Ruchnius realm. Mitzvos are shluchim. Mitzvos are agents. The Or HaTorah is everywhere, but we need to kindle a candle against it. We need to light a flame up with it. So the mitzvah comes and brings that light down to us and shines in the darkest places and says, here's a way to take from that Or and to spread it even further. The Neros, the Ner Mitzvah, is that we have a shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Torah itself, to light up our world with the candles. V'af v'maisa gashmi, even when you're doing something physical, materialistic, something which doesn't have a pasuk in the Torah which describes it, even so we can use those mitzvos to light up the rest of our lives, even the dark places, through being mevatel ourselves to the Ratzon Hashem and making ourselves into Shluchei Mitzvah, then everything becomes a Dvar Mitzvah. Everything becomes Kedusha, and that's the goal the Meraglim were supposed to have when they were going into Eretz Yisrael and doing something they really objectively shouldn't have been doing. If they would have done it with the right intentions, it would have been a Mitzvah, and they would have been saved from the terrible chait and the terrible punishment for that chait. Just one unbelievable point. It's not really exactly on theme, but it's still beautiful. The indented Tzvas Emes here, Tav Resh Lamed Ches, no bolds. You see it before the bottom of the page, second to bottom. So the Tzvas Emes says in one of the instances where he's repeating this Dvar Torah, he says, we know there's a rule in the Gemara in Kedushin now, I'm blanking if it's Mem Beis or Mem Aleph, but in the beginning of the 40s, in Kedushin, the second parak, the Gemara tells us what? Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso. What does that mean? It means that I need to do a mitzvah. I want to be Mekadesh Nisha. I want to get married. I can't do that right now because I'm too far away. So I send Michael with my wedding ring and my $10,000 wedding ring. It's not because of salary. My dad's in diamonds. But so I have a very expensive wedding ring and I send it with Michael to go be Mekadesh Nisha for me. So on my behalf, he's going to go be Mekadesh Nisha. So we have a rule, Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso, which means even though I'm not there, by proxy, Michael acts on my behalf. Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso. The shliach of a person is like him. Okay, so you're like me. That's not stam. You should take that in a little bit. They say a story that Rabbi Kiva Eger, I'm pretty sure it was his daughter, was getting married in a place a little far away. He couldn't get there. So he sent Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolios to be a shliach because he was closer to the wedding party. So Rabbi Kiva Eger couldn't be there, but he sent a shliach on his behalf. So Rabbi Ephraim Zalman was at the chasana, and his hanhaga usually was, he was always learning. He was always learning and teaching. He didn't have time to go to a chasana. So he would go for the chuppah and he would leave. He would, you know, stay for a little bit, say masav and then leave. But this chasana, he stayed and they saw him for hours at the chasana. They said, why are you still here? He said, don't you know I'm here on shlichus from Bekiva Eger? So they said, yeah, but you never stay at chasanas this long. He's like, yeah, but shlucho shalad mekumoso. I'm Bekiva Eger right now. Why would I want to leave the chasana? I can be Bekiva Eger for a few more hours. I'm going to stay. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to enjoy myself. So shlucho shalad mekumoso. We know that's true. Now take it and apply it. Every time we do a mitzvah, or every time we do a Dvar Reshus, something that's optional, but we do it with a Ratzon Hashem in our minds, we do it with the devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. Every time we do a mitzvah, every time we do anything, if we have that intention, what do we say? We are Shluchei Mitzvah. So who's the Mishaleach? HaKadosh Baruch Hu? His Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu in the case of the Meraglim? I mean, if you start to think about it, it says the Tzvas Emes, every time you're doing a mitzvah, the Torah is mishaleach you to do a mitzvah. And a person develops a Torah personality through doing the mitzvahs. He becomes one with the Torah through doing the mitzvahs. If you want to pass back a source sheet, if you're listening in. So that's what it says here, that Moshe Rabbeinu was being told to send the Meraglim. That was because Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, said, I want you to be the mishaleach. So when the Meraglim go, they go with a Moshe mindset. Isn't that amazing? Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso. I want to send all the Moshe Rabbeinus to Eretz Yisrael to spy. And every time we do a mitzvah, we're the shluchim of the makom, we're the shluchim of the Torah. The Shem Yishmuel has a similar idea in this week's parsha. If you look, you'll find it there. And that's a beautiful concept to remember, that we're shlichei mitzvah. We're shluchei mitzvah, which means we're carrying the name of the Torah, and we're spreading the light of the Torah. We're taking the ore of Torah, and we're the candles that are kindling that flame and passing it along to the rest of the world. In source number 2, the Tzvas Emes talks about a smichas haparshios. We've had this in Parshas Naso, also last week's Parsha. We keep having these connections between parshios. It's an interesting concept, right? Meaning, let's say Rashi in this week's Parsha begins by saying, why is the mice of the Meraglim juxtaposed with the end of last week's Parsha, Baloscha, of Miriam and Aviyah talking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu? What's the connection? So the Gur Aryeh, the Maharal, in his commentary on Rashi says, what do you mean what's the connection? First this happened, then that happened. So they get written next to each other. Why does there have to be a connection? So he has a whole arichas, a whole long discussion as to why it's a question in each case. And in each case, you have to wonder why Chazal even asked the question. But you had it in Nasa with Sota and Birchas Kohanim and Nazir. And you had it again between this week and last week's Parsha. So within our Parsha as well, the Tzvas Emes wonders that we go straight from the story of the Meraglim into the halachos, into the mitzvah of hafrashas chala, of separating chala. When you have a dough, a batter that you've made from the produce of Eretz Yisrael, or that you're in Eretz Yisrael, and you have a batter of challah, you have to be mafresh challah. You have to take out a piece, give it to the kayin. Okay. So what's the connection between that and the previous story of the Meraglim? Fair question. That's what the Tzvas Emes wants to know. So he says a really, really, really gorgeous word over here. Smichas parshios. If you look in again, source number 2 at the bottom of the page number 1. Smichas aparshios limeraglim. What's the connection between the two of them? Ki nichem osam Hashem yizbarich. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was offering condolences, a prize to the Bnei Yisrael. Ba'avur kitar umasam Haya Shalolios Nechuse Darga. This is based on a famous Zohar that we don't have time to get into, but the Sfasem is assuming that the reason the Meraglim were so nervous about going into Yisrael, you know why? Because when we lived in the Midbar, we lived above Teva, Me'al Teva. We lived in a supernatural way. Man was falling from Shemayim, the Torah was coming from Shemayim, we had Slav, we had an Anan, we had so many things taken care of us in a supernatural way. You really want to go to Eretz Yisrael and have to fight to take over the land, have to plant, reap what you sow. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of work to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the Meraglim said, we'd rather stay here. The Klal Yisrael would rather stay in living this above nature plane. That would be a much better way of living. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that's the wrong perspective. We need to go and we need to work and we need to earn. There's not Nahama the Kisufa for our whole lives. We need to earn what we need to earn. But, says the Sfas Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did want to console them. He offered some condolences. He helped them out a little bit. And he said, I know you wish to live on this higher plane, and therefore you feel Nechuse Darga. You feel like you went down. You feel like you went down in Ruchnius because now you're more Gashmi. Now you're more materialistic when you're going to Eretz Yisrael. So if you look again in the Sfas Emes source number 2, the third line. The Amar Akasev as a consolation prize. The Amar Akasev ki ba'achalchem lechem in ha'aretz. When you're eating that bread from the land, meaning when you have to work so hard to plant the wheat and you have to make the bread and it takes a lot of effort instead of being like man min hashamayim, biyosar yuchlu laharem shuma. It's even better in Ruchnius. It feels like a downgrade. It feels like you're lower down. It feels like you're closer to Gashmis. But the truth is, if you go that low, they have to plant and you have to build and you have to make the bread. It's going to lead to more Ruchnius when you take the challah. Ki chashuv lefanav yisbarach. It's more significant, more important, more meaningful to the Ribono Shel Olam. Ma shemeromim im bechinas hashiflis elav yisbarach. What you're able to do when you live in a world of Gashmis is you take what's materialistic and you make it holy. You make it kadosh. You live in a midbar, it's a wonderful thing. You live in a supernatural way, you live a life of kedusha. But you go to Eretz Yisrael and you plant wheat and you make bread and then you take that gashmi, materialistic, lowly, mundane bread and you're meirim, you pick it up, you lift it up, truma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You make it holy. That's as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even greater. It's even more holy, it's even more kadosh, more special to me. Sheba avor zeh, hayakol yirid et ha'adam me'olam ha'elyon la'olam hazeh. Otherwise, why not just leave us up in the world of the neshamos? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us these bodies, these kelim, to come to this world and live b'nechusei darga, in this lower realm, and not in the olam ha'emes? Why are we living here? Because that's the ratzon Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should live in the world and be mekadesh, that world. Find a way to infuse everything we do with spirituality. That our meals are more holy. That our planting is more holy. That our job has holiness in it. That we find a way to implant Kedusha into this world. Says the Sfas Emes, that's a higher level. Says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, you wanted to stay in the Midbar? That's incorrect. You need to go to Eretz Yisrael. But I'm telling you, when you're there, a chizuk, that's also going to be Kedusha, and even more Kedusha, when you make the Truma from the Challah, when you find a way to bring up all the Nitzotzos of the Galus from the Gashmius to the Ruchnius. Says the Sfas Emes, if you read the Pasuk, it says you take out challah. When do you mafresh challah? After you make the dough, right? Like in that process. But the Pasuk doesn't really say that, right? What does it say? Ba'achalchem milechem aretz. When you're eating the dough, when you're eating the bread. So the Sfas Emes says it's true in a technical sense, the mitzvah takes place before you actually eat the bread. But the pashtus of what we're really able to do is that even ba'achalchem milechem aretz, even as we eat, we're able to mekadesh, we're able to do it in such a way that it's ruchnius, that it's mitzvahs, that it's Torah, that it's kedusha. And that, he says, is why, if you flip to page number 2, he ends by saying, that's why we have a mission in Pirkei Avos, which we'll come to in a second, B'li Neder Mitzvah Hashem. The Mishnah tells us that if you sit at a table and you eat a meal and you don't say Divrei Torah, it's ke'ilu you're doing Avodah Zarah. And if you sit at a table and you eat a meal and you say Divrei Torah, then it's ke'ilu you're eating Karbanos, you're doing the biggest mitzvah in the world. Because what we do when we say Divrei Torah at a table, I think they say from a certain Rav who has a sense of humor, that a lot of people, you see, they eat a meal and they're like, oh no, the Mishnah says that we're supposed to say a Dvar Torah. So what they do is, before benching, they say, but quickly, you just want to say a Dvar Torah. The Mishnah says that every time you eat, you should say a Dvar Torah. So, very funny, but it totally misses the point, right? It totally misses the point. The point is that we should turn the meal into a Dvar Shabbat Kedusha, not to just say words of Torah. The point is that the Shulchan, the table we eat on, can become a Mizbeach. If we orient, if we calibrate, if we contextualize what we're doing as a Dvar Mitzvah. And in fact, the Sfas Emes says, that's the difference between Avodah Zarah and Yiddishkeit. Source, again, the second page, Tafresh Samach Aleph, which is 1901 already, the Sfas Emes says, that that really Avodah Zarah, every non-Jewish religion believes that there's good meals and there's church and there's doing good deeds and then there's partying. Like all those things are always separate. But the Jewish people don't have that. Obviously, we have to have precious. We have to have some sort of asceticism in order to avoid overindulging. But we're able to be mekadesh the indulgence, so to speak. We're able to take a Shabbos meal and make it holy. We're able to make a singing and dancing a bar mitzvah or a sudas mitzvah, right? We're able to turn things that are ruchni into gashmis. So this is what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky also explains in his commentary on Pirkei Avos. That's what the Mishnah means. It's so extreme, no? If you don't say the Torah at the meal, it's avodah zarah. And if you do, it's karbanos. What are you talking about? Maybe it's not good and it's good. But why is it avodah zarah? He says, no, that's the point. If you sit at a meal and you can't say Divrei Torah, it's because you think, this is my meal time. Later I'm going to learn Divrei Torah. If you separate, if you bifurcate between those two realms, you're doing avodah zarah. You're engaging in that theory, in that idealistic thought of the avodah zarah, which is dead wrong, that those two things are separate worlds. I can't bring them together. But when you sit at a table and you eat a meal and you enjoy it, and you say Divrei Torah, and you make a kadosh, Lashem, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm a Jew. I'm not an avodah zarah. I think the two can be blended, can be merged, and that's being mekadesh, the chol of the meal through Divrei Torah. That's what the Sfas Emes here is saying as well. The Sfas Emes elsewhere is quoted by Aaron Sarosky in one of his Svarim. If you look right before source number 3, there's two times that we notice in Psukim Parshas Ekev that the Psukim say, Ve'achalta v'savata, that you're going to eat and you're going to be satiated. One time it's Ve'achalta v'savata, and then he shamru lachem pen yifta levavchem esartem vavartem Elohim achirim v'shtachavisam lachem. What happens if we eat too much, we overindulge? Not going to be good. What does it result in, says the Pasuk? Ultimately, avodah zarah. Okay, but then it says v'achalta v'savata also earlier in Parshas Ekev, v'achalta v'savata uveirachta s'shem alkecha. So I don't understand. Satiating ourselves eating, does it lead to avodah zarah? Or does it lead to a bracha, to making a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's the answer? Depends on the context. Says the Sfas Emes, if a person eats a meal in such a way that they're just stuffing it down, they're getting filled, but it's not their avodas Hashem, it's separate, it's lunch break, it's not infused with Torah and mitzvos, it's going to end up in the wrong place, Rachmana Litzlan. But if a person is v'achalta v'savata in such a way that it's a context of uveirachta, it's with divrei Torah, it's with people who a person wants to be around, b'nei Torah, not eating with the wrong people, not sitting at the wrong table, but it's with people who are involved in Kedusha and care about Kedusha, then it's v'achalta v'savata uveirachta Hashem Elokecha. The eating, the physicality can lead to a Kedusha as well. We can take truma from Chala, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the whole goal of going to Eretz Yisrael, to find a way to live in this world with Kedusha being infused into it. Lastly, in source number 3, we'll do it very, very briefly, but again, it's on the exact same theme. Remember, the Meraglim's mistake was they didn't think that they could turn the spying in Eretz Yisrael into shlichus of a mitzvah. That's where they fell off. That's where they made their mistake. Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, you can turn even this mundane or even wrong thing into a mitzvah, and they missed the boat. So the psukim come later and tell us, but Chala teaches us, Trumas and Meisers teach us, we can take everything, Advar Rishus, anything, and turn it into a mitzvah, infuse it with the Kedusha. Our meals, our daily interactions can be Kedusha-oriented. In source number 3, there's yet another thing that comes in a Parsha, the story of the Mekoshesh Eitzim, that he violated Shabbos. So the Sfas Emes notes that in truth, the Mekoshesh Eitzim, the problem was that he lost track. He didn't have a real realization or recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in everything. And because of that, he was able to make a mistake of violating Shabbos. And that's why, this is based on a Medrash, Chazal tell us, that's why the Parsha of Tzitzis comes at the end of the Parsha. Because basically what we do when we put on our talis is we take the talis, we hold it over our heads, we make a bracha, and then what do? We wrap ourselves entirely in the talis. We're basically expressing to Kadosh Baruch Hu, my entire body, my entire life, my entire thoughts, everything is ensconced, is fully enveloped in the Shechina, in the mitzvahs of the Torah. And a person is enwrapped in that, they're able to focus and realize, doesn't matter if it's a weekday, doesn't matter if it's Shabbos, doesn't matter if it's a meal, doesn't matter if it's the base medrash, Ribono Shel Olam is always there, Kedusha is always there, the aura of Torah is always there, as long as I'm a ner. And says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, take these tzitzis and realize the Mekoshesh Eitzim who lost track, realize that we're always in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We always have opportunities to be mekadesh everything we're doing. We're always able to turn even a dvar reshus into a dvar mitzvah. So we should take the lesson of the Meraglim that they didn't learn, that we're supposed to learn from them. We should take the lesson of Chala. We should take the lesson of going to Eretz Yisrael. We should take the lesson of the Mekoshesh Eitzim and Tzitzis, which comes afterwards. And we should look around in our lives for places of Kedusha that already exist and then try to light our Ner from those places of Kedusha and carry that flame to all the other places of our life, to be Mekadesh everything in our life towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Ratzon. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.